Welcome to Bellwether Friends! Definitely not the first podcast featuring a discussion of pop culture and why we think you should like what we like, including consistent scripts. You should trust us, because we're librarians! I'm Anna, and I love cats.
I'm Aline, and we don't have a cat with a pink nose.
Still a problem. Definitely an issue. Every couple of weeks we will get together and chat about whatever we feel like talking about, usually pop culture related, what we think and how we feel. We'll end the show with our current obsessions. This is episode 68. I'm trying a new thing where I put in the number of the episode. What do you think?
I think it's great. You're going to need to add it to the script. Otherwise, it'll never happen again. Like the TBR challenge.
Hey,
remember that?
That still happens when we have one that's worthwhile. Today, we have joining us our expert, our Reader's Advisory expert, Allie.
Hi.
Hey, Allie. It's good to have you back.
Glad to be here.
Today, we're going to be talking with Allie about a topic that is near to our hearts, the latification of everything, or Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
Because we like to ladyfy just about everything we come in contact with. And we were talking with Allie about an excellently executed situation and said, hey, we should talk about this on the show. So we did.
So we are.
Here
we
are.
This is us talking about it right now on the show.
Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, Sherlock.
And not just the ladyfication of it, but Sherlock through the ages.
Well, but I was trying to track through my loss of interest in Sherlock Holmes mm-hmm. as a character, and I think it was probably the moment at which I was like, okay, I've had enough of these two dudes.
That's totally fair.
And I'm not sure when that happened.
It happens to everyone at some point.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, good for them. Let's open up by talking about when we encountered Sherlock Holmes, the character, and we'll have Allie go first.
Well, my parents are huge readers, and I always remember there was this giant, like, blue and orange volume of the stories, like, hanging around the house. And I asked my mom about it yesterday, and she said it was still kicking around the house somewhere, and that they had both read it from cover to cover. And I don't remember reading it from cover to cover, but I do remember picking it up and, like, picking through some stories that I liked, probably the shorter ones when I was younger.
Oh my gosh, you were just making me remember that whenever I would find a giant book of short stories, I would always look for the shortest one or two and read
right?
them and then move on.
Especially when you're a child, like, that's what you're looking. I wanted to feel grown up because it was a giant book, but also I didn't want to commit to reading half the book.
I can relate.
And I think I watched a few of the Basil Rathbone movies, but my mom says they were probably too moody for me when I was really little because they were black and white and moody, and that was the kind of thing I was scared of when I was little. So, but I do remember watching some of the Jeremy Brett movies with my parents, for sure.
Those are the ones that I watched, and I got them out of the library. There were a billion of them.
I don't remember how many there were, but I know that
it's
he
like,
was a
there were like 34 episodes or something featuring
wow.
him. It's a lot.
That's a lot.
And then he died of a heart attack, so
that's sad.
There couldn't be any more, I guess. But now with CGI technology,
perhaps so.
Still can't
Peter
be
Cushing
anymore.
Can show up.
Yeah, Peter Cushing can show up in a new Sherlock Holmes.
Anything else?
So I guess
in your
he was
early?
Just...
yeah.
Not really. I guess he was just kind of always around. My parents are both huge mystery readers. Like, we always had Agatha Christie's and that kind of thing kicking around. So that was just another mystery series that was about.
So the copy that I have here has my mom's book plate in it, which she put in her books when she was a young person. So along with the same series that this one comes out of, the Junior Deluxe Edition. She had, like, a Little Women and a Pride and Prejudice, and I'm glad to see that Sherlock Holmes made the cut as well. And I remember reading through these and then getting the Jeremy Bretts from the library. Or maybe they showed them on TV and I saw them at the library too. And then, like, it dropped off the map for a long time.
When you got tired of these two dudes.
Probably when I got tired of these two
probably
dudes.
Probably so, yeah.
And then I watched the Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes and the BBC adaptation the first couple seasons. And I still have a feeling that I like mystery solving, and I like the formula of Sherlock Holmes, like the really smart guy and the other guy who is also smart but in a different way.
Elementary.
Yeah. And yeah, I really like Elementary.
Me too.
With Lucy Liu and what's his name?
Johnny Lee Miller.
Yeah. Johnny right. Lee Miller.
I go back pretty far, me and Sherlock, back to the smoky days in London.
Y'all are old pals.
We are. At some point in my 10 to 12-ishness, my mom bought for her library this classic series of short stories that were individually bound. So they were like for the older kid slash teen collection, depending on how her library was set up. And it was by this route that I read The Adventure of the Speckled Band. And it's also how I read The Pit and the Pendulum and The Lottery and a couple of
all the classics.
And the
super
other
great
one.
Childhood stories.
Right, and An Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge. Yeah, so some interesting things. I don't know if this was like terror for the young.
Shed some light on some things. Really.
Right? I feel like I know you a little bit better now.
And my mom, too. So I read The Adventure of the Speckled Band, and I knew about Sherlock Holmes. I figure I must have seen movies on Sunday afternoon television, probably Basil Rathbone versions, because I knew of the property. And then I read this book, and I thought, well, that's very interesting, the way he pulls out all of these details, and he has this foil, and he goes through it. But I wasn't that interested in him. I think that I might have read Encyclopedia Brown before I read Sherlock Holmes.
Yep.
And I really liked him, and there's a similarity observational style.
Yeah, I was trying to explain to little G that Sherlock Holmes is like Encyclopedia Brown but a grown-up.
Right, because we were talking about Sherlock Holmes last night, and I never really caught on to it except as like a cultural touchstone. I knew about the style, and I knew the game is afoot because that's a Trivial Pursuit question and things like that, but I never watched a bunch or read a bunch. And I moved on. Anna talked about seeing the Guy Ritchie movies, which I saw the first two. I don't know how many there have been. Maybe there's just been two. I saw the first one in the theater and thought that it was just a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great, and I liked the rough and tumble aspect of it. And then the second one, I went to sleep halfway through in the theater on a prime night where I paid full price. So
if you need something to fall asleep to,
you should snuggle up.
Game of Shadows, I believe it's called.
With Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law. Then I have seen the first couple of seasons of the BBC Sherlock, and I have seen the first couple of seasons of Elementary, and I have appreciated them for what they are. I have really liked what they turned the tables on,
yeah,
and what they have gone forward with. Yeah. But we are getting ahead of Allie because we just asked Allie where her start was, and I want to hear more of her path.
Yeah.
More of my path?
Yeah, because we started talking, but when you were just talking about your reading as a kid, and I want to hear more about your grown-up Holmesian.
Well, I'm a huge mystery reader, so eventually when you read in mysteries, there's so much Sherlock-influenced stuff that you eventually just kind of circle back around to it. I also watched the first couple of seasons of the BBC Sherlock, which we could talk about in a lot of different ways. But I really like Elementary, as both of y'all have mentioned. And one of the reasons that I really like Elementary is because Watson is Joan Watson, and she's played by Lucy Liu, and she's amazing.
She is. She really is.
She's got agency, and she's got independence, and she's like, she's Sherlock's partner, but she's still her own person, and I really appreciate that, because in a lot of, like, in the original Sherlock's, and especially in the Basil Rathbone, and I can't remember in the Jeremy Brett ones, but Watson is kind of a bumbling idiot.
Yeah.
And it's not like that at all in Elementary, and I really like that. And Lucy Liu directs some of the episodes, and it's a pretty diverse cast, and I really like that. And I'm almost caught up. I have, like, 10 episodes before I'm totally caught up, so it's fun. It's a fun show.
What I really like about Elementary is that they have taken things from canon and turned them and used them effectively for Holmes being in recovery and for Joan's dark doctoring closure and right. so on. You know, I think they've got the framework, and it's there's not a whole lot of the overt junkiness in the original, is there?
I feel like I think I was young enough when I read them that I wasn't like, hey, Pinky's using drugs.
I feel like there was one where when I watched where Mom had to explain to me that he was using drugs. That was a fun conversation.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like the 7% solution might have.
Yeah,
right. One. Well, that's what he mixes. Okay.
Yeah. Right. But I feel like our modern eye wants to emphasize that maybe more than it actually is there.
Right.
But I don't. I need to reread, but I don't want to reread. I want to read new things with ladies in them.
Read new things with ladies in them. Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
I do. I had something to say.
About ladies or about Elementary?
I like Elementary.
It's fun. I like it. I like the Sherlock because he's still an arrogant jerk, but he's like, he has compassion and he actually cares about people, as opposed to some of the other Sherlock adaptations where he's just, it's all intellect and he doesn't care anything about anybody.
Yeah.
And he has his own tattoo gun.
Yes, he does.
I like that.
That's the most important part, yes.
So what about the ladies?
Well, did you do some research on the ladies, Allie? We have all touched on
Elementary.
Which makes us want to go even farther into lady business.
Yeah, why don't we have Lady Sherlock's?
Lady Sherlock.
Why does it have to be Lady...
Lady Watson.
Lady Watson's.
Well, we can have Lady Sherlock's.
We can.
So, lately, I found myself reading a series of books that was like, what if Sherlock but ladies? And the first one that I found was A Study in Scarlet Women by Sherry Thomas.
Woo!
And y'all are familiar with this one. Sherry Thomas is great. She writes in like all the different genres.
She does. Like YA fantasy and romance.
Have I told the podcast the story?
I don't know. Go ahead.
So I tweeted about it. I was sitting at my library, being a librarian at the desk, and a woman came up to the desk and said, "Is Aline here?" And I said, "I'm Aline, how can I help you?" Or no, I said, "What?" She said, "Is Aline here?" And I didn't recognize this woman. And I said, that, you know, after asking her to repeat herself, I said, "I'm Aline, how can I help you?" And she said, "Oh, I'm a romance writer, and I just really wanted to thank you because your staff picks emphasizes romance, because we have these little staff pick stands in the library. We have a little description of the sort of thing that we like to read, and then we put a couple of books on it." And I was talking about romance on mine. And so I was like, "Oh my goodness, well, I'm so excited to meet you. Thank you for coming in and for stopping by. What's your name?" And she said, "Well, I write under Sherry Thomas." And I was like, "Oh my God." So I freaked out on her because Anna and I are fans. And so I made her take a picture and I tweeted it and she retweeted it. We had a very little love fest and it was wonderful. So she is worth all of your adulation for sure.
Yeah, she's great. Everything that I've read of hers I've liked.
Yeah, definitely.
But this one I read because Deanna Raeburn, who is one of my other favorite authors in historical fiction, she blurbed it. So I picked it up, and here's just a little description. Charlotte Holmes finds herself a social pariah, though admittedly through her own actions, but she's still determined to solve the murders in London that have suspicion falling on her father and sister. Under the assumed name of Sherlock Holmes, and with the help of a widow, a police inspector, and an old friend, she is determined to find out the truth. So in this one, Sherlock Holmes isn't real. He's Charlotte Holmes, and she, like, investigates under that name, which is really fun. And there's going to be a sequel this fall called A Conspiracy in Belgravia. And it just hit all my buttons. It's Victorian and it's London and she's fending for herself and she's like being creative and figuring out, you know, how to make her way. It just really did it for me.
Excellent. I know Aline's reading it right now and I have also started the audiobook at some point and we'll have to restart it.
Yeah, it's got a really striking opening.
Oh, indeed. Indeed. Maybe don't read the opening in public.
No? Yeah. Oh, okay.
But I really liked it. I'm really looking forward to the sequel. So thanks, Sherry Thomas, and thanks, Deanna Rayburn, for blurbing it and letting me know about it.
Yeah.
I have not read the Laurie R. King books.
Okay, so I read The Beekeeper's Apprentice, which is the first of the Laurie R. King, I don't remember what her name is, Mary Russell and Sherlock Holmes. And have you read these, Allie?
I have not.
So the premise is that Sherlock Holmes has retired to the countryside, and Mary Russell is a young, she's underage at the beginning, a young neighbor, and the series goes on for several books. And I may mischaracterize them because I read it 20 years ago and I did not read the rest of the series, that she, like, comes to his knee as an interested neighbor and a mystery happens in their village and he solves it and she sort of becomes his protege. And then as the years progress, they marry, of course.
Of course.
Which is not the point for me, but it is something that happens in the series. And Mary Russell comes to be a part of the process of the mystery solving. And it's one of those sort of tribute kind of things. There's an entire literature around Jane Austen tributes, and I don't see as much Sherlock Holmes as I see Jane Austen, but there's a whole lot of it. And this is a good one by a woman, bringing a woman to the center.
So I was telling Aline last night that, like Jane Austen and like Shakespeare, there's something about Sherlock Holmes that has people coming back to it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And I just did a barest of searches at work yesterday to see what I could bring home in terms of DVDs, and I found about 15 things on the shelf.
Yeah. There's tons of stuff.
There's just so much stuff out there. I searched in Hoopla, and there are, like, 300 audiobooks, ebooks, graphic novels. There's just a lot out there.
There's an actual word for it.
Yes?
It's called Sherlockiana.
Wow.
Which is a broad term, like, relating to the non-canonical works and memorabilia.
I was going to say, is this where the market for Deerstalker hats comes from?
Probably.
If we search Sherlockiana on eBay, are we going to get Deerstalker hats?
Maybe. Something I read said Holmesiana, and so there you go.
Holmesiana.
Holmesiana.
That's like Louisiana.
I like Sherlockiana better.
Me too.
Me too. It's more fun to say.
I have a movie that just sprang to mind, which does not have any ladies really, but it's called Without a Clue. Did you ever watch this movie, Aline?
Who's in it?
It is Ben Kingsley and Michael Caine.
So the title, yes.
From 1988, okay?
Yeah, 1988, I totally saw
it. Dr. Watson is the ace detective, that's Ben Kingsley, and has been using an actor to play the part of Holmes. Holmes is the drunken actor and gets on Watson's nerves. When Watson tries to go it alone, he doesn't have much success and is forced to let Holmes take all the credit once more.
Hilarity.
Hilarity ensues.
You know, the late 80s hilarious drunken British people running the show, like Arthur and so on. I'm glad that's over.
Yeah, right. But I do appreciate Michael Caine being allowed his full free reign to do whatever.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking out the Michael Caine anti-Bond movies that right. Alex told us about.
Right, that'll be good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking those out. I haven't gotten any titles or gotten it from the library yet, but relative was telling us, we were talking about James Bond and... digression! And he was telling us about these Michael Caine movies where Michael Caine was this spy, but he wasn't posh like James Bond, and there's a whole series of movies with him. So, something to check out if you're on a James Bond kick at some point in your life.
It's a different episode.
Yeah, we'll have to do a James Bond episode.
Hey, Allie, are there any Holmesiana books for young people?
Sherlockiana.
Sherlockiana. There's actually a ton.
Yay!
There's a young Sherlock Holmes series, but the one I just read are called the Portia Adams Mysteries.
What?
Is that Adams with two Ds?
Portia Adams, ADAMS.
Oh, okay.
But they're Canadian YA.
Ooh.
And the author's name is Angela Misery, MISRI. I think I'm saying that right. And it's about this girl. She's 19. Her name is Portia Adams, and she lives in Toronto. And when her mother dies, she finds out that she's actually the granddaughter of John Watson.
Oh.
Yay!
And she has inherited 221B.
Awesome.
So she moves to London, and she lives in 221B, and she starts going to law school, and she kind of discovers her own talent for detection. So it's set in the 30s. There are three books, The Jewel of the Thames, Thrice Burned, and No Matter How Improbable. And it's a nice round trilogy, but it kind of can be open for more. So I hope she writes more, but they're really fun. They're divided into like case books. So like each book has, you know, like the original Sherlock Holmes case books that Watson wrote. So each book has three little mini cases in it.
Nice.
So I really liked those.
This sounds right up your alley.
Mine? I know. They were
Allie's alley. Yes.
My alley. I liked them a lot. They were out of print in the U.S. for a while, but then she started selling them independently. So they're available on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble.
Well, self-publishing, yay!
So, I think they're, I thought they were really fun.
Excellent.
Everyone should read them.
Anna brought home a couple, no, that's an adult one. So Anna brought home two in On the Case with Holmes and Watson, and they're by Murray Shaw and M.J. Cosson, illustrated by Sophie Rohrbach.
They're graphic.
They are graphic, and they are kiddos, and there are 14 of them available in Hoopla. So
Wow. Get
out your library card. I read the first two just before recording today, and I really enjoyed them. They are a little adulty. The art has an appropriate cast.
It has an over-the-garden-wall feel.
It has a little... Ooh, and it's fun. Definitely got the sort of sepia tones. It has the vibe of Tintypes in terms of the color scheme.
How time era appropriate,
right?
Yeah, and it has references to adulty things. In the very first one, Irene Adler is a character, and Holmes is immediately smitten, and they're not very subtle about it. And in the second one, on the very first page, there is clearly a cocaine-fueled midnight rising of Holmes.
Goodness.
And, of course, like Anna said earlier, I am applying all of my filters to these things, and so I'm like, how close are they standing to each other? And of course he's got cocaine on his mind. Look at how wide his eyes are drawn. It's a comic, Aline. Everybody's eyes are wide. They are fun, and we're gonna leave one on the table and see if little G picks it up, because I would like to read them with him and discuss them. Read them separately from him good. And discuss them.
Allie, have you read any of the Enola Holmes mysteries?
No, I haven't.
I have.
Are you talking to Allie or Aline?
I said Allie, but...
Sorry.
I have. I've read them all.
And?
I really like them. I thought they were really fun. They're, Enola Holmes is the younger sister of Sherlock and Mycroft. It's been a while since I read them. She is a young teen, and I want to say she's like 13 or 14.
Just 14.
and her mom disappears, and Sherlock and Mycroft want to send her away to boarding school, and instead she runs away to London to solve mysteries.
As you do.
Yeah, and the whole time she's solving mysteries, she's trying to keep her brothers from catching her and sending her away to school. So there's five or six of them. And I really liked them. I thought they were great. They were re-released in paperback and have these really cool, colorful colors. So, yeah, they're by Nancy Springer.
Excellent. Do you have anything else to add, Anna?
On the young people front?
Yeah. They have long been available. So I think that the reason my mom brought home the set of terror for young people was as a reaction to the bowdlerization of many properties over the years. She was always wanting to make sure that I wasn't reading something that was abridged or adapted. And I think that there have been a lot of somewhat straight adaptations for kids that weren't reinterpretations and they weren't retellings. And I think if you're going to do it, you should do it the way these On the Case with Holmes and Watson do, because they're taking the stories. They've got The Speckled Band and they've got A Scandal in Bohemia and so on. And they are telling the stories in a graphic novel format instead of just stripping out the complexity.
I put a hold on the Muppet Sherlock Holmes, which...
Fun!
Which I have... So we haven't seen it yet, but it has Gonzo as Sherlock, and I believe Fozzie as Watson, and Kermit as Lestrade, so... I look forward to reading that graphic novel ASAP.
I just put a hold on A Study in Charlotte by Brittany Cavallaro. And it's YA, and it's a prep school mystery involving Charlotte Holmes, who is like the great-great-great-granddaughter of Sherlock.
Okay, great.
So it's going to be a series. And there's also a series called, that I haven't read, called Locke and Morey, that's YA. And it's about Sherlock, Locke Holmes, and Moriarty, who is a girl, and they're solving mysteries.
Together?
For it.
It's apparently so. I haven't read those yet.
Okay.
Always interesting to see the different interpretations. And you know, YA is so broad that there's a bunch of different ways that it can be interpreted.
Indeed. What are you looking at?
Well, now? I was looking up Lady Sherlock adaptations. I know, I'm not sure why I'm doing my preparation on the spot. But there's a book that came out last year called Lady Sherlock's Circle of the Smiling Dead, but it's by a dude.
Yeah, there's also one called like Sherlock's Daughter, about Sherlock's daughter or something, that's by a dude. I haven't read that one.
So I don't know, but this one is set in 1906 London, which, okay. The series we've had at my work for a while is the Irene Adler series by Carol Nelson Douglas. I don't know if I don't know if you read any of those.
I haven't.
That might be worth pursuing.
Yeah, it seems like the Irene Adler thing. We haven't talked about Irene Adler.
Irene Adler?
I like that she's naked when she appears, when she first appears in the BBC Sherlock. That's my favorite, sitting in her parlor nude.
As one does.
I just have Rachel McAdams as my mental image for her, I think because of Guy Ritchie. We can blame Guy Ritchie for that.
Irene Adler being the woman that's smarter than Sherlock Holmes.
And his obsession.
And he calls her the woman.
I also really appreciate, in Elementary, she's played by Natalie Dormer.
And don't say anything else, because spoilers.
Right, spoilers.
Oh, right. Sorry.
There's an interesting twist on Moriarty in Elementary.
Yes.
And in the fall, there's a book coming out from Harper Perennial called The House at Baker Street. And it's an investigation by Mrs. Hudson and Mary Watson.
Hey, I like that.
Okay.
That's good.
It's by Michelle Burtby, so I think I'll probably pick that up when that comes out. So apparently they use the Irregulars, and Irene Adler shows up in that one. The description seems really cool, so I want to read that one.
That makes me, the fact that it's named after the house, makes me want there to be a story about the house and Mrs. Hudson, where whoever lives there is imbued with the spirit of the... And not in a supernatural way, just
the investigative urge.
Yeah, the investigative urge and the observational skill and so on. It just makes me wanna see that. So get on that, folks.
Why don't you write it?
I'm waiting. I've got a list
of things that you're not writing.
Hey, me too. Have you given a list of all kinds of things I'm not writing?
So I picked up and read the first volume of Watson and Holmes, A Study in Black, in which it's a graphic novel by Perlo, Mendoza, Ballers, and Leonardi, in which they are African-American guys in contemporary Harlem.
That sounds really fun.
It is really fun. You know, it's the story of how they meet for the first time, and Watson is a medical intern who, with a background in, like, he was in Afghanistan until recently, and Holmes is sort of a private investigator guy, like in elementary in New York, and he's got his nose in everyone's business.
I really like the art. I started reading it as she put it down, and I like the atmosphere and the presentation, and this Holmes is dapper af.
Yes, he is. We'll have to put a picture of him.
Yeah. We'll put a picture in the show notes.
In the show notes.
Just to tell you a little bit late, you don't need to write any of this down. We'll put it all in the show notes so that you can refer to it and add everything to your TBR and put holds on at your library.
Yeah.
I was going to say one of my next library holds is going to be Elementary She Read, which is a Sherlock Holmes cozy mystery by Vicki Delaney, I think. And it's about Gemma Doyle is the main character, and she owns a Sherlock Holmes mystery bookshop, and she gets embroiled in a real life murder. So
okay.
Kind of a different take. And I haven't read any cozies in a while, so I think that'll be a fun.
Yeah, report segue. Back on that one and let us
know. I will. I think there's two or three of them.
That sounds good. I should be ordering them for work, most likely.
You probably should.
So, yeah, I don't really have much else to recommend because I've been out of the Sherlock game for so long. So we're just listening to what you have to tell us, Ellie.
I think that there is a lot to be said for skimming through an article that we will link in the show notes to see what movies and comics you've seen and maybe fill in some gaps based on your grown-up interest. It seems like a lot of folks have some experience with Sherlock Holmes movies when they're kids, either on Sunday afternoon TV or checking out from the library. And there's a lot that can be read in various formats.
I am 100% sure that there is a lot of fan fiction out there.
Oh, I'm sure.
Both John Locke, a.k.a. assuming that John Watson and Sherlock Holmes are a couple, and Lady Sherlock. Because I know when I googled Lady Sherlock, one of the top hits was Archive of Our Own, so...
Yes! Fic writers are the best! We love them!
They are giving us what we want, and what they want, and some of them get book contracts, which is nice. There was a court ruling a few years back that Sherlock Holmes was public domain, yes?
I think so.
So, we can all write and publish as much Sherlock fanfic as we want.
Sherlockiana.
Sherlockiana.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Franny Fisher mystery number 20 that delves into Sherlockiana. Have you read that one, Arlene?
Is that... Which one is that?
That's the last
one. Murder and Mendelssohn, the one about the choir.
Yes. Oh my goodness, that one's good. I loved it. It's also got a little bit of The Name of the Rose going on, too.
Yeah, it's also pretty much straight up Sherlock fanfic in a book.
It really is. I love those guys.
It's Carrie Fisher, Carrie Greenwood talks about how she has kind of a love-hate relationship with Sherlock. And her Sherlock character is named Rupert Sheffield, and her Watson character is Dr. John Wilson. Rupert uses his intellect as a weapon, and of course, Bryony is a match for him.
Naturally.
Of course.
Of course she is.
But in some of the... This is an interesting quote that Carrie Greenwood, who wrote the Bryony Fisher book, said. She said, "I was mildly annoyed while I was fascinated because what Holmes was doing, his science of deduction, was a common female skill, and like all female skills, was awarded no applause and even sneered at as women's intuition."
Uh-huh. I love that. Is that in the interview at the end of the audiobook?
It is.
That, yeah, as you were reading it, I remembered hearing it and thinking, yeah.
And she goes on to quote Dorothy Sayers from one of the Peter Wimsey mysteries, where the Duchess says, "My dear child, you may give it a long name if you like, but I'm an old-fashioned woman, and I call it mother wit, and it's so rare for a man to have it that if he does, you write a book about it and call him Sherlock Holmes."
Nice.
I love calling what many would refer to as women's intuition mother wit.
I love that
because it's true. There is this magic. It doesn't happen to you in your early 20s. It happens to you a little bit later when you've been dealing with people a little bit longer. And that, yes, indeed.
Well, it's just interesting, and it might be why so many women are drawn to the Sherlock Holmes canon at large, because they see that deduction and they're like, oh, I know people that do that, and they're women.
Yep.
Unless it's the TV show House, which is
right.
A Sherlock analog as well.
Yes,
it is a little bit of a Sherlock
analog. So there's House, and there's Psych, and there's Mentalist, and there's a million of those with guys doing the thing. But are there any TV shows with ladies who are doing the thing? The Snap observation.
I don't know.
Kind of
if
a little
there
bit
are,
socially
there
antagonistic.
Are. If there are, I hope your audience tells them about us so that I can read and watch them all.
Yeah, we want to hear your recommendations.
Yes, please. We want particularly Lady Sherlockiana, and we'll take super smart ladies doing just about anything, whether they're solving crimes or not.
And I found out yesterday, it doesn't have to be in English, I found out yesterday that there's a gender-bent Chinese show called Sherry Holmes I am desperate to track down.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. Give me all of your recommendations.
Yeah, I think Ally should go last because hers is going to be best.
Okay. So we talked about dreamcasting a Sherlock property with people playing them. So I guess it's a TV show or
a
movie.
It could be a movie.
It could be
a
movie. All right. Well, mine is a long-running TV show. Please and thank you. What is yours? If yours is a movie, Anna.
We can call it. Mine is a movie, and so my Sherlock Holmes is Kate Blanchett.
Okay.
Nice.
And my Watson is Eric Lassell from his ER days.
Okay. Your Watson is Eric Lassell. Okay.
And my Lestrade is Taraji P. Henson.
Yeah.
Really?
This
yes,
is going to be interesting. Oh, if you got Taraji P. Henson.
I've got Taraji P. Henson in my cast elsewhere.
And my Irene Adler is Priyanka Chopra.
Okay, ooh. Yeah.
And my Mrs. Hudson is Tim Curry.
All right.
And my Moriarty is RuPaul.
So, oh my gosh.
So our themes are really similar, so I have to go next. And we know that Allie's is going to be the absolute best, and that's why we're making her wait till last. Did you cast Mycroft just by accident, maybe?
No.
Okay, so my Holmes is Taraji P. Henson, because I don't want her to be bound by the strictures of the police force as she is in Person of Interest.
Okay.
And my Watson, I went with Lucy Liu because I like, she does it so well.
She does it so well. You're correct.
And so I went with that. So Taraji P. Henson and Lucy Liu. My Lestrade is Matt LeBlanc.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
My Moriarty is Idris Elba.
I thought about putting Idris Elba in, and I was like, nah.
My Irene Adler is Morena Baccarin.
Who's that?
She's Deadpool's girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
She's Inara
on
Firefly.
Okay.
Yeah. And Mrs. Hudson is Gerard Butler. Because I wanted an accent.
His name is Butler.
And his name is Butler. And then because, so Holmes is Taraji P. Henson, so I thought that Mycroft could be Queen Latifah in an occasional like recurring role.
I thought about Queen Latifah also.
We always think about the same things.
I like it.
So I'm pleased with our casting.
Right?
And
I would watch either of those shows.
So, yes, and I'm super eager to hear Allie's.
Yes.
Okay. So my bro Amy helped me, Amy Digg, because she is excellent at fan casting. So my Holmes, by the way, mine's all ladies.
That's excellent. Good.
So my Holmes is Viola Davis.
Okay.
Excellent.
And my Watson is Ruth Negga.
Yep.
Y'all know Ruth Negga from Loving. My Irene is Lena Headey.
Yep. Okay.
Oh, yes. I approve this message.
My Moriarty is Emma Thompson.
Really?
Don't you think she'd be a great criminal mastermind?
I think she would, and she would do it with such glee and good humor.
I know, right?
Yeah.
My Lestrade is Sarah Ramirez.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She'd look great in the uniform.
Yep.
And my bonus Mr. Hudson is Colin Firth.
Oh, yep, Colin. Yep, yes. I think we all
like
how
we all have Mr.
Thing.
Hudson's.
We all have Mr. Hudson's, and they're all sort of like, you know, UK-based.
Salt and peppery.
Yep. Excellent.
Good job.
I think that we will not charge for these inspirations.
Yep.
If someone would like
to take them.
Feel free to take them.
Use them immediately.
So I looked for shows like Psych, and all the recommendations had male leads, and I looked for shows like The Mentalist, and I have Medium, The Closer.
Okay.
I did like The Closer.
So Cold Case is not, though.
Right, so, yeah. But I'm just looking to see if any of them have, like, female leads.
Right.
And Ghost Whisperer.
Right, well, and when you said Medium, I was like, so they all try to make it supernatural, because
right,
I thought of Ghost
Whisperer.
Right,
if it's supernatural, then yeah. It's okay for ladies to have, like,
yeah.
the powers of intuition for that purpose, I guess.
And The Closer is good. Ooh, yeah. Okay.
There was a spinoff of The Closer...
Yes, that had Mary McDonnell in it.
Major Crimes.
I liked her.
Yeah, I love Mary McDonnell. So.
Yeah, she's great.
So I feel like that is a thing that still needs to be filled. You know, the Hayley Atwell one was almost getting there.
Conviction could have done it.
Where she was making connections.
Yep, and she was like saying, okay, I need you to track this down to fill in the thing I know
right.
is what happened. One of the things that I thought about was when I was recasting and putting women in the roles, and I knew that we would all be putting women in the roles, it made me think of lady pairings in crime solving, like Cagney and Lacey and Rizzoli and Isles, and it made me want more of them.
Yeah.
And try to figure them out. And, you know, Law and Order usually has a lady somewhere. Or at least SVU always has Mariska
Hargitay. But
they don't
have them paired together.
But they don't have them paired together. And that's why I was trying to think, is there anything besides Cagney and Lacey and Rizzoli and Isles? And I couldn't come up with anything, but I didn't Google it yet. So that might be something to look for and try to find elements of them that are not annoying.
How about the movie The Heat with Sandra Bullock? And Melissa McCarthy.
So that's good, and it also doesn't do it the way we would like to see it done.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, what else did we leave out? Anna found an article that she didn't copy the title of.
It's from Wikipedia. Are these adaptations of Sherlock Holmes is the title.
Okay, something like adaptations of Sherlock Holmes.
So, Allie, did you ever play the game 221B?
Baker I didn't. Street?
Okay, well, we may need to track down a copy of that, because I remember...
It's a board game,
and I remember playing it at my neighbor's house across the street and loving it, but I don't remember anything about how it works.
We want to talk about stage interpretations of Sherlock Holmes, because this article says, and I will read, the actor most associated with Holmes on stage... was William Gillette, who wrote, directed, and starred in a popular play entitled Sherlock Holmes in 7 different productions on Broadway from 1899, filmed in 1916, while the stories were still being published, to 1930.
That is a huge range.
It really right? is.
His version of Holmes, dressed in deerstalker hat and Inverness cape and smoking a large curved calabash pipe, contributed much to the popular image of the character. We like this guy because he's our neighbor. He took his ill-gotten money. Gains they from the stage.
His well-gotten gains.
His well-gotten gains. And built Gillette Castle, which is not far away from where we live, and is fascinating.
Yeah.
It is one of those, I've got all the money in the world and I'm going to build this place that is weird and mine and nobody else's. And it's really neat. So come visit and we'll go tour it.
So I have found in my Googling, one of the things on our bracket was Scott and Bailey.
Right!
Like Cagney and Lacey before them, two very different women whose appeal exists in their intuitive understanding of each other, camaraderie in a pickle, and some great, great lines. It's the description in this article. So that would be a UK lady buddy cop series that we still have on our potential list.
Right. And I'm looking at, there was other stuff in the article that I wanted to talk about. There is reference to a children's television series called The Adventures of Shirley Holmes, which ran from 96 to 99, which we all need to track down and check out.
Sounds fun.
Rustling paper.
Russell, we are not entirely digital here.
And there is reference to Star Trek The Next Generation, where Data and Geordi end up playing Holmes and Watson maybe in the holodeck for a couple of episodes.
That's a fun. Good pairing, I think.
Yeah, might be worth checking out especially if you are Star Trek inclined.
And there's plenty of, if you're interested in lady detectives or ladies doing cool things, there's plenty of historical lady detectives that are not necessarily Holmes inspired that you can check out. I know y'all read some of those, but like Deanna Rayburn has the Veronica Speedwell series, which I really like. And then there's Maisie Dobbs by Jacqueline Winspear, and that's set between the two wars. And then, of course, Franny Fisher.
Of course.
Who lives at 221B, the Esplanade, St. Kilda. She bought her house for the number.
Right.
So if you're interested in lady detectives, there are plenty to be found.
There are. And they range from cozy to less cozy. So you can get your bloodthirst taken care of.
Yes, tell us which ones you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else do we want to cover?
I think that's good.
All right, look at us. We're doing great. Are we moving on to obsessions?
Yeah.
Allie, do you have a musical obsession?
I do. Have y'all listened to any of the new Haim album?
No, we have not.
There's a song on there called Little of Your Love that's super fun and very dancey.
Well, perfect, because my musical obsession is also a dance song. I went on a road trip in June with a friend to Maine to go eat lobster rolls, and we listened to the Spotify playlist Pride Classics,
which is
chock full of all kinds of delights, and had one that I had never heard before by Kylie Minogue called Your Disco Needs You. And we'll put it on the Musical Obsessions playlist, of course, and you should go listen to it right this minute,
right,
because
now
it is great.
Yeah, it is something. It is something. My musical obsession is going to be the song Sherlock Holmes by the band Sparks, which came out in 1982.
That sounds fun.
It was listed in this article of Sherlock adaptations, and we listened to it before recording, so it is a worthy addition. Do you have a regular obsession, Allie?
I do. So Scholastic is putting out these beautiful, gorgeous, fully illustrated Harry Potter books.
Yes, we have them.
Do you have them? Well, I just got them. There's two out so far. and they are absolutely beautiful. And I've spent the last week or two flipping through them, and I can't stop because they're so pretty. So that's my current obsession.
That's great. They are really, really beautiful.
Jim Kay illustrates them.
Oh, and the author what was her name? Joanne K.
Yeah. Rowling.
Yeah.
Right. Do you have a regular obsession, Anna?
I do. It is also a book.
Oh, good.
We just finished it. We have mentioned it before on this podcast.
Oh, good.
But it is The Dragon with a Chocolate Heart by Stephanie Burgess.
Yay!
So sweet.
We finished it this week.
It's
adorable.
We had to read extra so that we could finish it that night, so we could find out what happened. And all the things you hoped would happen, happened. And, you know, she's going to be doing a sequel with one of our favorite characters as the main character.
Oh, that's always exciting.
We are just beside ourselves.
It's going to be called The Girl with the Dragon Heart, I believe. And so we are looking forward to seeing more of this universe. Thank you, Stephanie.
Yeah, it's really well done.
That's fun. I gotta read that. Her Twitter feed is a delight.
It is.
She is a delight. You've heard her right here on Bellwether Friends.
I have, yeah.
I am obsessed with something far less romantic than exciting fantastical novels. I am obsessed with laundering bed pillows. You may have heard of this on the internet. Every now and then I'll read a housekeeping article or a list on BuzzFeed, and it says things that will make you stay awake at night about what happens to your bed pillows and how you should launder them at least once a year. And I think that we can all agree that we probably haven't laundered our bed pillows once a year. So I looked it up on...
Define year.
Yeah, define year. Is it a Venusian year? Is it a Saturnian year? I looked it up on WikiHow, how to launder bed pillows, and you should treat your down pillows differently than your non-down pillows. And I am working my way through our household, laundering pillows and freshening things. And, you know, if you pull your pillow out of its pillowcase and you're like, oh no, maybe just head on over to the store and replace them too. That's always an option.
Yeah, pillows... Important quality of life.
Super important quality of life thing. Yeah. I'm laundering the really nice pillows that I bought just a few years back because I realized that the pillows in my life were not making me comfortable, happy, sleeping.
You know, it's interesting how just tiny little adjustment like that can improve things so much.
Yep. This has been your public service announcement.
Right.
On pillows. And something, something, allergens, dust,
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know that a lot of people have sensitivities that force them to do this, and we are enjoying the luxury of being able to wallow in our own filth as long as we'd like, and we're lightening the load a little bit.
On that note...
Have you ever laundered your pillows, Allie?
I usually just buy new ones.
Yeah, that works too.
Okay, so if you have any questions about how that all works, you just send Ellen a message on Twitter. Or an email to our email, bellwetherfriendspodcast@gmail.com. We check it once in a while.
We do.
Thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter at bellwetherfriends, BellwetherFrnds. We're on Facebook. We're on Tumblr. If you feel the urge, you can look us up on iTunes and leave us a review. I'm Anna, and you can find me online at Helga Grace, HelgaGrace.
I'm Aline, and you can find me on Twitter at Surly Spice, SurlySpice.
I'm Allie. You can find me on Twitter at ASWATKI1.
Hooray!
Where else can we find you, Allie?
Yeah.
JoinTheGirlGang.com.
Woohoo! And our in and out music was provided by the lovely Julie Jurgens, who recently had a birthday. Happy birthday, Julie. You can find her on Twitter at Hi Miss Julie, HimissJulie.
Bye.